The Beagle 2 Mars probe is on track to land on Christmas Day. If all goes well, the British spacecraft will sniff the Martian air for methane gas, one indicator that there might be life somewhere on that planet. But even if the sniffing of Mars comes up negative, that doesn't mean that life won't be found someday somewhere else in the universe.
It's really, at this point in time, given what we know and what we think we know, actually stepping out on a limb to say there's no other life, that Earth is the only planet with life.
David Grinspoon has written a new book called Lonely Planets, The Natural Philosophy of Alien Life. Mr. Grinspoon advises NASA on how to explore space. He's principal scientist at the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado. And his new book amounts to a kind of present tense pulse taking about what we know about the possibility of life existing elsewhere or in different ways. He joins us in our studios, and thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Your book has nothing to do with, almost nothing to do with UFOs, visitations. I'm not sure I even saw E.T. In the credits.
Well, in the sense that I try to take a wide view of the human response to the question of life elsewhere, you can't ignore the UFO phenomena. So I do touch on that. But the meat of the book is science and what we can say as scientists about life elsewhere, given the terrible predicament that we're trying to study scientifically something that we have no evidence even exists.
Mm-hmm. I had not quite appreciated until I read the book the ways in which interest and even belief in the possibility of extraterrestrial life is something that dates back in the scientific community a good distance.
That's right. Even going back to the 1600s, as soon as we realized that there were other planets out there and that Earth was a planet among many, there was widespread belief among not just the general public but the scientific community that there probably was life on other planets. If anything, in the 20th century, we somewhat retreated from the optimism that there might be life on all the other planets as we learned more about them and that the conditions, at least on some of the nearby ones, are a bit forbidding for our kind of life.
At first, the belief in some ways was almost philosophical and mathematical, the whole idea being that this is a universe of infinite possibilities, and in the 21st century we actually have a better idea how infinite really can be. And the idea was somewhere out there had to be a place, if not exactly like ours, some other place that was host to life.
Yeah, it's an old argument that just boils down to, in a universe this vast, with so many places, even if life is something that's improbable in any particular place, it still must exist elsewhere. And that's the core argument that we scientists and even UFO believers still use. With all this real estate, how could this be the only inhabited patch in the universe?
Well, what about the scientific response to the idea that, I mean, does nature waste space?
Does nature waste space? I don't think so. I mean, certainly on Earth, any place where there can be life, which seems to boil down to any place where there's liquid water, there is life. And it's only in the last few years we've realized the extent to which this is true. We've found life deep underground, eating rocks, and in thermal hot springs at the bottom of the ocean, in places that we used to think must be inhospitable. So what we've been learning certainly about life on Earth is that it's very adaptable and very tenacious to fulfill any gap that there is, to fill any niche that there is. And I believe that this is probably a property of life in the universe.
I want to get you to read a section of your book, which is I think, the one section. Well, I can imagine a great many people will be reading this section and trying to quote from it, maybe lacking your lyricism, and finishing the section going, oh my gosh, I think my view of life has just been fundamentally changed in two paragraphs.
Okay, I will read this now. This is the end of a chapter called Is It Science Yet? We have to be careful when stating what is impossible. Different chemical environments may breed unforeseeable sources of chemical order. And what about life that doesn't need chemistry at all? Why not life on different spatial or temporal scales? Who are we to say that the universe couldn't make some kind of complex, self-organizing, evolving structures using its gravitational or nuclear forces, forming living structures that are too large or small for us to notice? Life at the scale of molecular clouds, or even galactic superclusters. Why not life, and even civilization, at the level of elementary subatomic particles, where empires that dwarf any in human history rise and fall in a nanosecond, at a level completely invisible to us? Life so fast or so slow that we don't notice it. Why not? No reason, no answer. Time and again, we think we know more than we do. We may never be able to imagine an alternative kind of life, but I bet we will eventually come across one.
I have been extremely respectful of water droplets over the past few days, ever since reading that. The implication is, of course, that we don't have to look to the stars at all for another organization of life.
Well, it's an intriguing possibility that we could come across alien life right here, some form of chemistry underground, or even somehow right in this room amongst us that we've somehow missed. I mean, you do hear about cosmologists talking about dark matter, mm-hmm. which is supposedly permeates the universe and is the substance that many scientists now think makes up most of the universe, maybe 90% or more, and we don't know anything about it. So therefore, we don't know if it has more or less potential for life than the kind of matter we know about. So it's at least conceivable that right here in this room where you and I are talking, there's a dark matter dance party going on, and we just haven't been invited.
I'm never invited to the good parties, but I'm surprised that they wouldn't at least, you know, think to call you.
Well, that's why we got to keep our lines open, because you never know when they're going to call.
Now, your friend, the late Carl Sagan, believed that if one day it could be said with great confidence that, yes, we know there's some other form of life out there, he really seemed to believe that it would enable us to throw aside the petty distinctions we see between ourselves and set aside our differences and understand that we are recast together in a world that suddenly seemed larger.
I think it's quite possible, and nobody knows what the response would be to this knowledge, sudden knowledge that we weren't alone, but I would like to see the experiment play out. And one common thought that Carl Sagan and many others have expressed is that it would have a uniting effect on us, mm-hmm. because suddenly the knowledge of the other makes our differences seem so small and so petty. And the notion that I like is that if we follow that thought process, then we don't even have to find them. Even just the thought that they might be out there, the realization that they probably are out there, ought to, you know, if this thought permeates our culture widely enough, it ought to help. Because indeed, when you realize and think about our existence from that perspective, you realize that we really are all the same. We're all one. We're one species, and our differences are tiny in the immensity of the universe.
What's your guess? If everybody who is entitled to call him or herself a scientist was asked, do you believe that there's some other form of life somewhere in the world, how many would say yes?
Somewhere in the worlds.
Thank you. Forgive
yeah.
me.
I think, and you know, I can't tell you the number, yeah. but I've talked to many, many scientists about this, and I would say that almost all scientists would agree that there is some other form of life out there, especially if you're just talking about simple life, microbial life. Mm-hmm. If you ask the next question, though, what about complex life and intelligent life, then you'll get much more of an argument in a room full of scientists. There's a wider diversity mm-hmm. of views, and there are some scientists, some smart ones and thoughtful ones, who think that intelligent life is very, very rare or possibly even unique to Earth. But I think there's also a large number of scientists, and I count myself among them, who believe that intelligent life is also a phenomenon that must inevitably arise on a large number of planets.
Mr. Grinspoon, thanks very much.
Thank you.
David Grinspoon, his new book is Lonely Planets, The Natural Philosophy of Alien Life.